Okay, let's learn. We are on Daf Mem something. We are on I think we're on Mem Amud Beis, but I want to start from Mem Amud Aleph. The reason for that is because I started teaching you the sugi yesterday according to Lieberman, and today I had Charoto. I had remorse that I did it that way. The reason is because he makes a point which doesn't make sense. I will tell you what it is as I teach it to you over again now. Okay? So we'll start from the bottom of Mem Amud Aleph. Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yasa, which is six lines from the bottom. Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Yasa, and Rabbi Ima, Saukun L'chamsa the Gadda, they went to Chamsa the Gadda. Now the Maisa, which was going on here, I like what Lieberman says about that. It brings out from Noam Yerushalmi, it's not his. Nothing he says in this sugya is his. It's from the Noam Yerushalmi. My time is really not on Lieberman, but the Noam Yerushalmi. The Noam Yerushalmi says, it's talking about a case when they brought down the Bavli where they went to Chamas Goder, and they stayed in the motel of a guy. The guy was not there at the beginning of Shabbos. He wasn't at the beginning of Shabbos, came in the middle of Shabbos. When he came in the middle of Shabbos, they had not rented Rishus from him, so now they didn't know what to do. Whether they could rent now or not rent now, so they didn't know what to do. The Maisa, they did rent from him. Now, let's see the Maisa how it develops. Shalom Rabbi Chama Bar Yosef Ashura, he allowed them to be socher Rishus on Shabbos. Shimon Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan heard this from Meir, he said, Yofa Sisam is a good thing. Shamrei Shimon Lakish, who Meir lost Sisam Yofa, he didn't do. It was not a good thing you did. Ma pleading, that's more they arguing. Rabbi Zir Meir lo pleading, they're not arguing. Ma adam Yofa Sisam, he said you did good, Shesachartim, that you rented from now on. Ma adamar lo Sisam Yofa, he said that you didn't do good, Shetitaltim, that you carry till now. Okay, all that is straightforward. That's very simple. Rabbi Bo Amar Pliga, they do argue. Ma'adamar Yofa Asisem, he said you did good. Shesachartem b'shetiltaltem, that you rented and that you carried. Ma'adamar Lo Asisem Yofa, lo shesachartem v'lo shetiltaltem. You didn't do good, neither that you rented nor that you carried. Now, the thing is like this. Here's where Lieberman says that he makes his point in the name of Noam Yerushalmi that the lo shel tiltaltem means it was bad that you carried before you rented. You should not have carried before you rented, even though the goy was not present. Because the way the sugi will develop, the compelling case he makes for that pshat is that the way the sugi will develop, it's not possible to enact the schiras rishus, what is not supposed to rent in the middle of Shabbos. And that's how he goes on to discuss the sugi. The problem is that really in lomdus, if one thinks about it, that really makes no sense. Because if the goy is not present, then they have a perfect right to carry. When the goy becomes, at worst, you could say from now on they can't carry. But there's no reason that they couldn't carry at the beginning of Shabbos. Maybe they could say that they shouldn't have carried at the beginning of Shabbos, lest the goy come any moment. But until the goy comes, they're allowed to carry. Rishus Akum is only Oser. His presence is only a problem if he's present. If he's not present, it's not a problem. So it's very difficult, that which the Noam Yerushalmi says, that lo yafas, lo asisim yovi, didn't do good, means lo shesachartem, not that you rented, nor that you carried before you rented. Rather, it seems much more smooth to explain like the conventional pshat, which everybody else says, that once you rented, obviously, you continue carried on that basis, right? Because you thought that was the right psak. It's not good that what you did, that you rented and that you carried subsequently to your having rented. Okay? So you see the difference between the Noam Yerushalmi, which Lieberman brings, and everybody else. Noam Yerushalmi says, talking about, you didn't do good in that you carried before you rented. And I don't see how you can learn that way. The conventional shot is, you didn't do good in that you rented, and on that basis, you carried after you rented. Because that rental was a meaningless gesture.
There's no such thing as the rental being retroactive from the beginning of Shabbos.
No, the rental can't be retroactive. That everybody agrees the rental can't be retroactive.
Cannot
be retroactive. That's for sure not. Especially if it's good from here on in. Okay? Rabbi Bar asked the question, Afliya Mechitzaskein, what about in terms of walls? Hey Chavita, what's such a maisa? Hayushnaim v'irvu is a typo here. It should be Eruv Echad, but even that's a typo. It should be Eruv Echad Echad. There are two people who made two Eruvim, one each. They didn't join together. Uva Akum v'hosif. Now, on Shabbos, the Goy came and put them together. Okay? You put them together. And said, now you're together, you can carry. In other words, they had two separate mechitzas. So Goy said, I'll do you guys a favor, I'll put you together. You'll be together. So says the Gemara, it doesn't help. Shabbos already began b'Isser, of course. You cannot be matir in the middle of Shabbos. Since the walls are not constructed properly for Shabbos, if they're constructed properly on Shabbos, it does you no good. Now, what about the other way? If there are three people and they made Irvu Shnei Eruvin, they made two separate Eruvin. Now, why they made two separate Eruvin? It's an interesting case. We had it in the first parak. This is three people. Three people are allowed to have up to six in between them. Okay? Six in of ground when they're making poor walls in their caravan. Remember that they're making poor walls, either chassis or Erev. Either just standing poles or cross wires, not crisscross, not proper walls. In that case, the halacha is you don't only get to put in a limited amount, two sa'ah per person, base sa'ah sign, which is 5,000 square amas per person in the Erev. You can only get put in more in your Erev when you have proper walls, which are either walls or Tzuras HaPesach. But when you have the improper walls, which are either vertical posts or horizontal bars, you can only get in base sa'ah sign per person. Okay? So here they made two separate Erevim, right? One guy had an Erev of two, and the other two had an Erev of four together. Okay? They had two Erevin, which is okay. It was a legitimate Erev. Erev Erevin, Uvo Aku Mupachas. And now the guys put them together in some way in which now the Erev is too large. I don't know exactly how, but the Erev is now too large. Okay? You put the Erevin together. Let's say, I guess, somehow before it was like one of them at 1.5, I don't know exactly work out with the cheshbon, but somehow now maybe when he had put tore down the wall, there was space between the two Erevin as well, which went into the count now. So now he expanded the Erev beyond the permissible amount, beyond the six so which they're allowed to have. He expanded it so it's larger. It's still the perimeter is still built up. But there are too many people, there's too much open space within the Eruv. Doesn't matter, it's okay. Why is it okay? Because Kvarnichlan says Shabbos beheter. Shabbos began with heter. So now, what is Rabbi Ba saying? Actually, it said boy at the beginning of this, but he made a statement. His statement is, by walls, whatever Shabbos begins, it continues. If the walls were good walls when Shabbos began, even though a goy came expanded them after Shabbos began, and now they're too large, the bottom line, there were walls, they continue to be walls, you may continue carrying on Shabbos. Vice versa. If the walls were usher Shabbos, meaning you had two separate Erevin, and the goy came and did you a favor and put your Erevin together, they're still walls. But now they encompass areas which were not part and parcel of the original Eruv. Two Erevin which are not at first not connected, have now become connected, they still can't carry from one to the other. Why is that? Because Shabbos began be'isser. Not that either one was also carried, but they couldn't carry from one to the other, and that continues now as well. Okay? So here too, Raibah says the same thing. Raibah says, if Shabbos began be'isser, you can't be socher rishus in the middle of Shabbos. One Shabbos began, that's it. Lo yafasisem, says Reish Lakish, that you mesocher rishus, and that you carried on that basis. You know how to do that in the middle of Shabbos, okay? Kol Shabbos, again, Rabbi Bo has a raya from this. Kol Shabbos nichlas or beheter mutter. Eitar the Shabbos came in permissible, remains permissible. Beiser oser. If it entered beiser, then it remains oser. Chutz, with the exception, mina mevat rishus. There's one exception: a Jew in the middle of Shabbos can renounce his rights to his own yard, walk away from the scene, figuratively speaking, and then it becomes mutter on Shabbos. Bitter Rishus works on Shabbos, but you cannot contract the neir on Shabbos, nor may you, of course, in this case, make a schir Rishus from a goy in the middle of Shabbos. And what? Right, Bishamis is a can't make Bitter Rishus on Shabbos, that's correct. So I'm going to be so. Okay? Now, what about the guy? What about the shita which holds that you're allowed to do it in the middle of Shabbos? So the other man damar holds chutz mina mevatel or maskir that you can do maskir shul smil Shabbos as well. So that's malchokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan holds that you can be maskir smil Shabbos just like you can be mevatel shul smil Shabbos. Reish Lakish holds you cannot. You can only do bitter shul smil Shabbos, not schiras shul. Okay, new case mauli skor shul mina pundak. Now the Rashba says that this case is talking about a very interesting case. You have a guy who's an innkeeper who rented out his room as a ready to non-Jews. The non-Jews to whom he rented out the room were not there for Shabbos. So now our question is: can we go to the landlord and rent out those rooms which are already rented out for our purposes for the Shabbos? Can we do schiras or shus? In other words, we want to carry in these rooms, but they're already rented out to somebody. The tenants are not there for Shabbos. Can we go to the landlord and rent out the rishus for him? Can we go, so to speak, to the over authority and go get from the over authority if we can't get from the people who actually have jurisdiction at the moment? Which could be a fundamental question for our Erevin nowadays, right? Because nowadays we don't really go to the people who own the dwellings within our area. We go to the municipality, to the city. So it's possible to make a parallel to our modern scenarios. Not necessarily, because in our modern scenarios, the truth is that the city does not own the land they're in. It's just that they have the right of entry and the right of legislation and jurisdiction, but they do not have the right, they don't have ownership. So it's not 100% parallel, but there are similarities. That's how the Rashba learns the case we're about to learn. Lieberman brings down from the Nier a beautiful shot on this. The Nier says, no, that's not the case. The case is a case where you have an innkeeper who's willing to rent out his apartments to Jews. Jews are allowed in the motel. But he says, if I get a goyish guest, I kick you out. You only have right to the room until a goy comes up. So the Gemara's question, according to the Nier, is that considered to be sufficient schiras rishus? In other words, it's very you were schiras rishus technically speaking, but you have no true mastery over that which you're renting out, because they can remove you any time. Is that considered to be sufficient rental? And that's also relevant to our modern situation, because in our modern situation, when do we do schiras rishus, that expresses itself in very little practical ramification, right? The goyim can probably take it back anytime they want. Albeit there's no reason for them to, because all we rent is the right to carry, not the rights of usage, right? But there, they were actually renting the rights of usage. The goyim retained the rights to take back the right of usage any time. What's the status in that case? Okay? So it says, where Ma'alis Koshus Mina Pundak. Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Anderson, Salkin Chamso, go there. And so they went to Chamas Koder, similar, and Amrin, And they didn't know what's the status, either according to the Rashba, whether they could rent from the over authority, even though the rooms are already rented out, or according to the near, whether they could rent, whether the rentals, when they would be could be kicked out any times, are valid rentals. Namti, so he said, let's wait. Achi avo zikni adorm lekan, until the elders of the south come to here. Asa Rabbi Nasa d'roima. Rabbi Nasa of the south came, b'shon lay, they asked him, b'shon, and he permitted it. Shem Rav Shem Elokish. Rav Shem Elokish heard and he argued. V'amar, Me'acho Sha'aku Ba'a Motzi'enu Lo Asinu Klum. Since the Goy can come and kick us out any time, according to Rashba, the Goy is the true tenant, who's the true authority on the apartment. According to the Nir, the Goy was the landlord, who retains the right to kick us out if he gets a Goyish guest. So the houses are not ours. Right? Lo Asinu Klum. We haven't done a valid skirt for truth. So Shem Barba, I'm Rabbi Yochanan boy. So Shem Barba and name Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish. Me'ato ein batenu shalonu. So that's the case. Even our own houses, soldiers can come anytime and kick us out. We don't own anything. Nothing is really ours, right? Says the Mara Rabbi. This, by the way, if I was an anthropologist, I would be able to learn outside of here about the state of affairs between the Romans and the Jews in Tiberias around the time of the 5th century. But they were actually obviously kicked out from time to time by soldiers who were quartered in their houses. So, Rabbi, so says, well, Rabbi Yusti, Rabbi Sim, Hashem, Rabbi Bittu says, no. Ein v'teinu shalein shalonu. Maybe it's supposed to be in. I'm not sure. In would mean yes. Ain means not. The idea is the same. Let's try with in. In. Batenu shalanu. Wadurimanu. When the soldiers come, they're quartered with us. Lot says ain motzino sanu. They don't kick us out. They live in our dwellings the same time we do. Ubepundak motzino sanu. But in this motel, they kick us out. So therefore, that's why the motel we have a shiloh, even though in our own houses we don't have a shiloh. Because in our own houses, they're not kicking us out of a motel, they might. Yeah. It was a big thing. It appears in the Bavli several times too. But obviously it was a big thing in the old days. More in Eretz Yisrael than in Chutz Lartz, I guess. Okay. Ba'abai she'ashutof l'shcheinim. Now, this is talking about shitufim evos. Erev chatzeres must be with bread. You can't have erev chatzeres with anything other than bread. But shitufim evos, the partnership of the bavli, can be done with any substance. And that's what we're discussing here. Ba'abai she'ashutof l'shcheinim. L'zebiyan l'zebiyan. He was a partner with neighbors. He had two partnerships in the Mavli. With one partner, he was a partner in Carmel, and the other partner was a partner in Kedem. Right? They had wine trade. He had several, a couple of wine trades on the side. Okay? So there's a partner with this one, a partner with that one. So, Lezebiyain, Zebiyain, Ein Tzichemarev, they don't need a Shituf. An additional Shituf, even though it says Erev, it means Shituf. They don't need additional Shituf of those. He's a partner, Reuven's a partner with Shimon. Shimon's a partner with Levi. That's sufficient. To Shituf and Vos. No, for them, for those. If there are more people, they need Shituf for the rest of them. Luzebiyain, Luzebi Shimon, however, he's a partner to. They constitute the higher mobile. Right? It's an oversimplification, but that's the idea we're dealing with. If he's a Reuven share partners in Kenem wine, and Shimon Levi partners in Bertoli olive oil, whatever it's called, so that doesn't work. That because they're not mix and match, right? Luzebiyai is Rabbi Shimon. Tzichemar, they need additional shituf. Rabbi Shimon, echotze ain't a tzichemar shalal arif. Even if Reuven and Shimon are partners in wine, and Shimon Levi partners in olive oil, they still don't have to. They still don't need a shituf. It's sufficient as if they did a shituf. Rabbi Bavishai Rav Yudah said, "B'derecho eret oret shonu." Tarakamot, we go by derech eretz. What's derech eretz? Here, derech eretz means parnosa. Does mean Torah Mada means parnosa. When you have wine, you can mix wine together. You can sell Kedem and Carmel, you can mix the Kedem and Carmel and sell it, right? You don't have to necessarily keep them separate. So therefore, with Zebiyan or Zebiyan, Hov Eno Makbiyata Ravoso, since they don't care if they get mixed together, ain't Tzorech La'aretz. You don't have to mix together, right? As long as they have partnerships in wine, it's all considered to be one big mavui. The Zebiyan or Zebishemen, however, his partnership to one is in wine, the other oil, since it's Derech Eretz. You want them to sell it, you don't mix them together. Since in Parnosa, you don't want to put them together because we'll be able to sell it, so therefore they need separate shituva yavos. It's not a sufficient partnership. Rabbi Bar Bar Kana and Rabbi Kiya Bar Hashem Shem Rab said, our mission is talking about where you actually put them together. Big chumrah. It's not just enough that you have partnerships with either one, with both of them separately. You have to actually mix everything into one big pot. It's a major chumrah. It doesn't sound like that, Mishra. That's what he says. I'm Rabbi Zika, Taivin Rabbi Shimon. What's Rabbi Shimon's logic? He says, my partner to Reuven with oil and to Levi with wine. So that's enough. Bye, they don't mix. Says more shekain dark lishtos and anigron. There's a certain remedy brought down Masechta Brachos called anigron, which is made of wine and olive oil. So since for that remedy, even though for business purposes you would never mix them together, it's absolutely stupid, right? They lose their value. But since for this medicinal purposes you would mix them together, so that's enough, and it's considered as if you all want big happy shituf by virtue of your various different partnerships throughout the Mavri. Okay. Rabbi Yitai, Rabbi Elizabeth, Tadoy, Emer. Beikachu, Beikachu, he argues in our Mishnah. Says, regardless, my system of partnerships, my networking does me no good. Beikachu, Beikachu, Sirim, Adshav, until we make an Eruv. Rabbi Yaakov Hashem, Rav said, Rabbi Elizabeth, Tadoy,
that none of this helps. We pass them like a title who doesn't appear in our Mishnah. You need to make an Eruv to Shitu. Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Hashem, Rabbi Zira said, Ask Rabbi Elizabeth Adoy, Rabbi Meir. That which Rabbi Elizabeth Adoy said is in line with that Rabbi Meir said. Hey, Don Rabbi Meir, which Rabbi Meir are you referring to? All right, Rabbi Meir, do what Rabbi Meir said, Ayidei Eruv, Ayidei Shituf. You need two different levels when you have a Mavui and an Eruv Chatzeros. You need two different levels. You have to have an Eruv for the Chatzer, which you make with what? Specifically? Bread, and they need a shifutu from Mavi, which you can make with anything. Okay? Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Bud says, no, different Rabbi Meir we're referring to. Rabbi Meir Duomer said, Shem Arvin Lodem El Zaito. You now have to make an error for somebody without his awareness. Because he has to be willing to, we don't pass like him in this. But he has to be willing to participate and join together with other people to make a reshus together. So therefore, if I have a partnership with A, and I have a partnership with C, or I have a partnership with Reuven, and I have a partnership with Levi, but Reuven and Levi don't have a partnership together, I cannot serve as the linchpin. They have to consciously participate in coming together. That's where Beleza Tadoy, but Tadoy says, everybody's got to participate actively in making a shituf together, right? Al daiti Rabbi Mona. Now, according to Rabbi Mona, who said that we paskin like Rabbi Meir is the one who said they need both Eruv and shituf, and Ki Rabbi Zira. Like Rabbi Zira said, Rabbi Lezer Tadoy and Rabbi Meir hold the same thing. Al Daiti Rav, and like Rav, who said Rabbi Lezer Ben Tadoy. Lezer Ben Tadoy is the way we paskin. So from this, we're forced to say that Ki Rabbi Meir, that we paskin like Rabbi Meir. I'm not sure why we chose Rabbi Mono in order to say that. But what we're trying to say is, we'll be passing like Rabbi Elizabeth Doi, like Rab said. And we say, like Rabbi Zira, that Rabbi Elizabeth Doi and Rabbi Meir are the same opinion. So then we're forced to paskin like whatever Rabbi Meir said. Which in fact is true about that which Rabbi Mona said. That you need both an Eruv and a Shituf. Air for the Chatzeres to treat them revos. It's not true about that which Rabbi Boon said. There are mayor that you only make a person say with his intent. So I don't know how he picked Rabbi Mona to Paskin like and not Rabbi Boon. But that is in fact the case. We Paskin like Rabbi Mona, who said you need both, like Rabbi Zero said that Rabbi Meir holds like Lezer Ben Tadoi, like Rabbi said that holds like Rabbi Lezer Ben Tadoi, the domino effect which begins with Rabbi Lezer Ben Tadoi ends with the passing like Rabbi Meir. Okay? Rabbi Zero B'Shem Rabbi Yechna. What? Which, for what? Yeah, so it's brought down earlier in the Masechta, Shalot Ishtak Achtoris Eruv. Because the primary Takon of Eruv was bread. Because bread is a real meal. It's just for the Movi, they were Makel, that you can use oil and wine. Right? Because it's easier to get together oil and wine or something like this. But Shalot Ishtak Achtoris Eruv, none of the people should forget, the primary Takon was bread. So even if the place reduced Shituf, which is, of course, much more expedient, you still have to air besides that. Okay? So the original Takara was there. Since the original Takara was here, and bread is really the primary linkage in terms of making a meal, so then even a place to make shittu, they still required you to use bread as well to make the Erev Chatzeres. Now, it's interesting that you, the list of the Gemara is lushing here, though. Rabbi Zia B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan said, Be'eruvin u'betainet sibo nogu akol krei meir. By Eruv, and by Tainet Sibur means that by the recovery brings out by Tainet Sibur that you have duchening even by Mincha Ne'ilah, not just in Shacharis, which of course we observe today by Metzri Birkas Kohanim and Mincha by Tainet. So Tzidra says the nation, the people were knowing like Rabbi Meir. Why is it stressed that it was a Minuk? So I don't, nobody says this, but it's partial to me that normally, you pass an alcohol kadivere and make a bayrubin. Right? How, why should we normally pass can like the lean, more lenient approach? To say you need both a shittuf and the erev is a stringency. So, Rabbanan would never have passed that, but Naguam, the people had a minute to do the chumra shita. Hey, people are machmir on their own. We rabbis are certainly happy with that, right? So, therefore, it says he's medayik. Nogua am Krabi Meir, that's cool. Nogua ko Krabi Meir, that's how it came about. Rabbi Yaakov Rachel Shem Yochanan said, Af Mikila Sester, Nogua ko Krabi Meir. Even by Mikila Sester, everybody is acts of course to Rabbi Meir. There are various different opinions how much of the Megillah you have to read in order to be Yotzei. Rabbi Meir also, you have to read the whole Megillah from beginning to end. Right? So the Nogua am Krabi Meir, the Minig has always been like Rabbi Meir. Not to start, say, from Balayla Uvnadadash Nasa Melech, which is one opinion, but to start from the beginning of the Megillah. Okay? Halachavav. Chamesh Chabur Sheshavsu Betrakli. You have a large hall, like this Beis Medrash here. And you have five groups of people who are spending Shabbos in the Beis Medrash. And they built little room partitions between them. It's an interesting case. I don't know what, you know, how this happened, but that's the case. What? The YMCA? They have room partitions? Oh, the shelters, right. Right, so they put actually partitions up. V'chakli d'achon. In one large hall. V'shamrim erev l'kol chabur v'chabur. Since they're partitioned off, every group has got to have its own eruv. They're not connected. With some Erev Achas Kulam, they can make an Erev for all of them together. If their mamas should separate rooms or in separate floors, every Chabur needs its own Erev. Says Matraklin Lifneim, Kechotzer Shabbatim. The Traklin is like for these guys, instead of the partitions, it's like a courtyard. So therefore they need Eruv. Why? Because they've divvied up the courtyard, so they need an Eruv for it, right? Hayu Sham Paplanios,
Mishayim Batim. Because now these little room dividers, I know why they're called Paplanios. That's why I use the Latin name. These Paplanios, these room dividers, make them separate rooms. Okay, that's how Ben Shammai says you have to make a separate area for them. Because each of them is like a separate house in their own courtyard, and they, that's it. They need to have separate area. Now, it says where, Manakami, what are we talking about? Imashu Paplonios Magios Sarakoyos, if the room dividers reached all the way up to the ceiling, Kolam Avoidim, Shem Arvin Erev Lukol Chabura Chabura. Sorry. Kolam they're certainly separate. Ancient Paplonios, Magios Arakoros, if there is no Paplonios reaching onto the ceiling, they're all in together. Now, let me explain exactly what's going on here. The truth is, since all everybody has access to everybody else, they can all make an Erev together anyway, right? They can all make one unified Erev. The question is, do they have to make one unified Erev? Basil says, yes, they're all one room. They're one entity. They're all one Erev. So therefore, they don't make... The truth is, when it says they make an Erev together, it means they don't have to make anything. Because they're all thrown together. Beis Shammai says that in order to get thrown together, they have to each participate in making an Erev. It says, it means that each guy has to participate in giving, because otherwise they're separate. Okay, so it's not exactly like it says literally. Literally, what we would understand is Beis Shammai says that each one makes their own Erev unto itself. And Beis Hillel says, no, you make one Erev for all of them. But that's obviously not the case. They're each one by themselves. They don't have to make an Erev. Stick to your own Daled Amos. What it means is that Beis Shammai says each one's got to contribute because he's separate. And Beis Hillel says they don't have to each contribute because they're not separate. So says, well, look, if the partitions reach the ceiling, then everybody, even Beis Hillel agrees they're separate. If they want to combine together, they have to each participate in making a common Erev. If there are no dividers, then of course they don't need air because they're all thrown into one big room, right? And even Beis Shammai agrees that they're all one. They don't have to make the toss in a pot contributions to an Erev. What's the machlokas? We have to sense the Gemara. Where's my little shame? Paplonios Kibos Asora. The dividers are 10 tefachim high. So they're not up to the ceiling. There are dividers, but they're 10 tefachim high. So the question is, in that case, since 10 tefachim is a mechitza in the Torah, so does it separate us? Or do I say, since they're not totally up to the sky, so they're up to the ceiling, so therefore we're not separate and we're all considered to be one. Okay? It says we're shoving. Shimayu shufi b'isu v'tavshil. Everybody agrees that they had common cooking areas. Meaning that some area common, they weren't camping out completely separately. They cooked together one area, or they baked together one area. Shame Arvin Erev Echol Kula. They're all considered to be one big area. Okay? They don't need an additional area. Rabbi Shame Boy! Rabbi Shame stated, Me'ato afilu im mitzot shirin chadoi valios. What if, it's, even if some of them are on separate floors or separate rooms, as long as they have a common area which they use to cook or to bake in, so that in of itself unites them, they don't need any additional areas. Okay? Rabbi Bob Hashem Rabbi said, Shtei batim zelif nimizel. This is completely different. I'm coming out of left field, kind of. You have two houses, one right now, right, one behind the other. A railroad flat setup. Okay, you have one house, then another house, right? So, Irei Vapnimi. Let's say in the inner house, there are a bunch of people, they made an Eruv together. Ein Achitzo Tzorech L'Arev. The outer house doesn't have to participate in the Eruv, they're automatically included. Why is that? Because how does the inner house get out? Through the outer house. So the inner house has what we call the lingo, Tritas Rego, which means the right to step through the outer house. So therefore, by definition, the outer house is considered subordinate to the inner house. So you know, it doesn't have to make an active participation in the Eruv. The whole situation, by definition, makes them an active participant in the Eruv. Right?
when, you're right, the Bavli discussed the case where it's two chatzeres. It's two chatzeres. And their house is on the inner courtyard and the house is on the outer courtyard. So then that's different. The house is in the outer courtyard have got to participate in there with the inner courtyard, otherwise they're also to carry, right? But the thing is, here it's talking about you're actually going through their house. So they have no rights whatsoever. You've canceled their humanity, so to speak, right? They're not considered to be separate entities at all. Because you're actually walking not through their chotzer, you're walking through their house. So their house is tofel to your eruv. In the Bible, you're talking about you're walking through the chotzer, so the houses are still an issue. They have separate independent houses. You have to deal with the houses. But here they have no independent houses. The house itself is a ma'var. It's a passageway. So therefore, in this case, the house is null and void. Their dira is not considered to be a separate dira. Okay?
Of two mogels, which would be the same as the chotzer, right?
Right. Chotzer, mogel, same idea. That's
now,
right.
Yesterday we had a case where a guy was in the middle of, had a house.
Right.
And there were two Jewish houses, and the guy had to go through the Jewish
house. Through either one of the houses, right.
So that's similar.
The question was, once he got out of the house, he went into a mogel. And the question was, in that mogel, or what the status was. You're right, vis-a-vis the Jew's house, the Jew wouldn't have to do anything because he's tuffel to the goy if the goy is going through his house. But then the question is, which movi the goy will exit in, or which movi he will answer because the participant with the other people in the movi. Okay? Says the Gemara, Yirev Achitzo, what if the outer house made an Eruv? Apnimi Tzorach Lari, if the inner house still has to make an Eruv. Why is that? Because they're not automatic for the inner house, not tofel. Right, the outer house is not a tresis regel. I guess what it is like this. I probably have the case wrong. I think the case is like this. That you have the inner, you have a chotzer, on one of the houses fronting on it is a railroad flat arrangement. We have an outer house and an inner house, and they're both fronting on the chotzer. And the first case is where the inner house contract to be part of the area of the chotzer, and the outer house, meaning the one through which they pass, did not contract. Well, it says they don't have to contract. Because since they're a house which serves as a passageway to the inner house, then they're subordinate, they're tofel to the inner house, they don't have to participate in the eruv of the chotzer. But vice versa, in a case where you have a chotzer with an inner house and outer house, the same case, and the outer house, meaning the house which serves as the passage, contracted to be part and parcel of the eruv of the larger courtyard, the inner house still has to participate separately because they're not subordinate to the outer house to which they pass. The outer house is subordinate to them. That's probably the case. It makes much more sense the way I described it. All right, Pinchas. Now here comes one of these Rishabas which nobody knows what it's talking about. After Mitzrayim. Now, the Mashbiach, remember our old buddy the Mashbiach? The rabbi in Pittsburgh. You haven't heard him yet. The Mashbiach says that Mamish means Mitzrayim here. Egypt. The Chachmei Mitzrayim said the same thing. And it means that there are a bunch of Egyptian Amoroyim. Chanan HaMitzri is one of them. So he says the Egyptian Amoroyim agreed with this. Except the opposite, Mar will say. It's a very dochuk thing to say. Lieberman says he has no idea what he's talking about. He wants to change the gear, so first he changes it to mezuzahs. Instead of Mitzrayim, he changes it to mezuzahs. They changes to chatzerim, to courtyards. I don't know. The Korban Eidos Pshat is very nice to me. The Korban Eidos Pshat is like this. With a motion, I think, also. Meitzarim. Meitzarim means boundaries of a field. A meitzar, bar meitzar, right? The person is your boundary man. Well, meitzar there means straight, yeah. But here means a person who's, well, I guess it's a similar idea, boundaries, narrow confines. But the thing is, here it means I have a field next to your field, right? Well, actually, let's not learn it this way. I have two fields next to each other, and I'm selling you both my fields. But you want to only have to do a Meitzar Kinyan on one of them. Which one do you have to do the Meitzar Kinyan on? So that's what the Yerushalmi say, very partial. I don't know why Lieberman didn't like this. It's the exact opposite. If I
acquire the inner one. So I still have to acquire the outer one separately. Why? Because the inner one I can acquire without the outer one. And it's not necessarily the same. The inner one is the outer one does not require the inner one. The outer one does not require the inner field, right? And therefore, if I make a chazak on the inner field, it doesn't establish my chazak on the outer field. However, nasan alachitzo, if I made a chazak on the outer field, and certainly there'll be, I don't have to make a chazak on the inner field. Why is that? Because the outer field is the passageway for the inner field. And therefore, it's considered to be attached. Well, how should I say attached? Yeah, attached. So it'd be attached to the inner field, and therefore if I made a kinyan on the outer field, I do not have to make a kinyan on the inner field. Okay? But the thing is, since the outer field has a shame, let me make it lomdish, and then you'll understand. Since the outer field has a shame, it's a shame of an opening to the inner field, besides being a field unto itself. It's also an opening for the inner field. So therefore, if I make it on the outer field, it works on the inner field. But the inner field has no inherent attachment to the outer field. It's not an open. It's separate parcel, and it's not an opening to it. So therefore, to make a beginning on the inner field won't help for the outer field. Still not clear? Again, the outer field has two dinim. It's its own field, and it's also an opening for the inner field. So therefore, when I make a kinyan on it, I can make kinyan on it as a field itself, but I can also make kinyan on it as the passageway to the inner field, and the kinyan therefore works for both. The inner field only has one din on it. What din is it? It's a field unto itself. It doesn't service the outer field at all. And therefore, I make a kinyan on the inner field, it doesn't drag the outer field along. That's how the carbonator learns it. All right. I guess if it doesn't sound good, then you understand why Lieberman had great difficulty with it. All right? The reason why I think Lieberman didn't like it is because he didn't like the word nosan. Nosan means to place on. Should have said kana or hechzik or something like that.
As a result, since the outer field does not mean the inner field, the kinyan on the outer field doesn't come from the inner field. The kinyan on the inner field would help by having the kinyan on the outer field. That is the deal of the carpet as well.
Okay, maybe. Maybe that's why he didn't like it. I see it, Bnei Moshe, I forgot he learns differently. He learns that Meitzar is a bridge. Has to do with buying bridges. But we'll leave that out. Okay, the bottom line is that it's a difficult Gemara, and that's why Lieberman has difficulty with it. Says Gemara, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Achav and Rabbi Avoh B'Shem Rabbi Shimon Levi said, Afilo Irei V'Apnimi, even if the inner guy didn't make an Eruv, the outer house doesn't have to make an eruv. Now we're talking about a case, same case we're talking about before, and the outer house doesn't have to make an eruv. Yeah, but now I don't understand what the scenario is in which it doesn't have to make an Eruv. Aha. Okay, the way Pnei Moshe explains it, the outer house doesn't, even if it didn't participate with the inner house, even the inner house didn't participate in making Eruv in the larger courtyard, the outer house could still carry. It's a very ironic thing. We said the outer house serves as a passageway to the inner house. Precisely because it serves as a passageway, let's say the inner house didn't make an Eruv. And those people who live in the inner house, therefore, cannot carry from the chotzer through the outer house into the inner house and vice versa. But the people in the outer house could still carry from their house into the chotzer and vice versa. Why is that? So says the Gemara, Loma Nase Beishar. It doesn't have a shame of a house anymore. What is it? It's an entryway. Entryways don't have to participate in an Eruv. You can carry in and out of them even if they didn't actually participate in an Eruv. And therefore, since it doesn't have the shame of a house, has the shame of an entryway, so you can go back and forth in and out of it, even if you can't go to the inner house. You can go back and forth in and out of the outer house. Okay?
Does a Beishar have doors? The doors closed?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's a gatehouse. It's a house, but a gatehouse. Right? Now, Milsei Amarok, this teaches us that, now here the Reb Chaim Kanievsky changes all the Gur souls here. And the way he changes it makes a lot more sense. They, all the eights to yesh and all the yeshs to eight. Vice versa. Milsei Amarok, yesh beishar liyochid. Now this teaches us that a solitary house has got a beishar, because it's a question. Milsei de Rav Amarok, because Milsei Rav teaches us, ain't beishar liyochid. A gatehouse is only to a bunch of houses. If you have a whole bunch of houses and they have a wall, so you have a gatehouse in front of it, that's a gatehouse. But to have a gatehouse for a solitary house, Rav holds there's no such thing. Okay? The Marabi bought Bar Yudim Shem Rav, Hoda the Tema. He said, when do you not have to participate in Erev? Be Beishar, here again Reb Chaim comes in, Beishar Rabim. The Beishar of the masses, because that's the true Beishar, it doesn't have to participate in Eruv. A Beishar shall Yochid, but the Beishar of an individual, Harei Ze Eruv. It's got to, first of all, you can put an Eruv, I'm sorry, it's about something else there. He says that whether you can put an Eruv in a Beishar, because an Eruv has to be put in a house in the Chotzer. So if a Beishar is not called a house, you can't put the Eruv there. You have to put it in one of the houses. So that's a Marei Bob by Yudim Shem Rav Rav said, Hotei Beishar the Rabbi. Where can't you put an Eruv in the Beishar which belongs to the masses? A Beishar Shal Yachid, but since there is no such thing according to him as a Beishar of an individual, of a Yachid, I raise Eruv, you can put your Eruv there. And therefore, since there is no such thing as Beishar of Yochid, so if he lives in that Beishar, as is the rest of the Chatzir, you cannot, he has to participate in the Eruv, otherwise it's not valid. Rabbi Bobashem Rabbi Yudah said a new thing. Once you mention Rabbi Bobashem Yudah, let's mention something else in his name. Bishnei Bnei Odom, that there are two people. Where there are two people, one of them has rishus, and one of them doesn't have rishus. Meaning, one is an authorized lessee, and the other is an unauthorized sub-lessor. They live in the same house. One has the right to live there, one doesn't have the right to live there. Right? So, Yaakov's on Lower East Side. They used to have this a lot in Lower East Side, didn't they? What? Yeah. Illegal sublet. What?
In rent-controlled apartments.
Rent-controlled apartments? Okay. So, b'shtei de'adav, echot she'esh lo rishus, v'echot she'ein lo rishus. Ireb zeh she'esh lo rishus. So, if the guy who has the right to stay there, participate in putu zeh she'ein lo rishus. The guy who doesn't have the right to stay there, but is there, schlept along with him. The illegal sublesser. Right? However, if the illegal sublesser participates in the Eruv, he was allowed to be there, doesn't get the right to remain. He doesn't not participate in the Eruv, and the Eruv is null and void. Okay? Say, Alokhazai, Ha'achin Ashutvim, you have brothers who are partners. Now, the Gemara takes out the word partners. Now, partners, it's a mistake. Shoyach Le'ashuchan Abiyah. They all live in the same chutzner. And they eat from their father's table. Now, the Pashim Shah mission is they eat together in their father's house. Moira's going to discuss whether that's true. The Yeshiva table, but they go home to sleep. They have their own houses. Each of them has to participate separately in the Eruv. Why? Because they're not considered to be a unified rishus, even though they eat together. The people in Shochan Echon Man below Eruv, they have one that forgot to participate in the Eruv. Bita Rishuso, he has to be Mavato's Rishus, and he has to remove himself, he has to renounce ownership. Because each one is distinct. Emma said, where is that Trubas Machimalikan Seirub on the Makama Echad? That's only if the Eruv is located, the communal Eruv is located some other place in the Chatzar. Av Iba Yah Eruv Ba'etz Lon, but if the Eruv was located in the father's house, where they all ate, Oshenimah and Diyur Chatzar, there's nobody else who lives in the Chatzar, Eruv Tuchlar, then they don't have to participate in each one independently, because anyway, the focus is on the father's house, and that suffices. They don't have to be each one to be independent. Says Mar, Ikar Dira Echani. Where is the primary place of Dira? So a general question. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Ispaukum. It's Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel. Chad Amar Mokum Pison. One said it's in the place where you eat. That's your Mokum Dira. Chad Amar Mokum Shein, a place where you sleep. Lo Yadin Mana Marda, Mana Marda. We didn't know which one held which way. Rabbi Shmuel. That Rebbe Shmuel said above 10 tefachim is an issur the Rabbanon. Heavy duamar makapitan. This teaches us that it goes after the bread. Nobody understands this. Who shall be? Not a single believerman says just five words. Lo yadati perusha. Anyway, tries to give pshatim here. They're all weird. They all don't work out. It's really like a medrash pliya. It's mamish, a strange thing. It says since above ten tefachim is an issur d'rabbanan, so therefore you see it goes after the bread. So the pnei, what, nobody has a grape shot here. Once you don't have a grape shot, then I'll just tell you what the pnei moshe says, which is the least strange. There's really a lot of far out pshat in here. What he says is since there's halacha that above ten tefachim is said to be issur d'rabbanan. Shmuel says somewhere if you throw, it's also to throw from issur sayachi through issur sarabim. Above 10 tefachim. And this is the Rabbanan, right? Because above 10 tefachim is considered to be still a Rishus, he says. So since you see above 10 tefachim is considered to be a Rishus, the Rabbanan, how could possibly be a Rishus? Nobody sleeps above 10 tefachim. Nobody sleeps suspended in midair. It says, May Moshe, it must be, but people can't eat in midair. They put their sandwich more than 10 tefachim above the ground. So it must be that you go after Mokum Piton. Because you find that there's a reshus above 10 tefachim, it must be it goes after the bare bread and not after the sleep. Again, it's very difficult, but there's no better pshat. Masisa pliya Shmuel, that seems like our Mishnah argues that Shmuel. Because there's Achim Shayochim v'chule. It says here that even though they all eat together, they still need to participate separately in the Eruv. Rav Chiya B'Shem Rav said, Mimkabli prasi masniyan, masnisa me'avine masnisa. Our Mishnah is where they don't eat together. They don't eat together. They get allocations from their father, but they don't actually eat together. So they come to the house, they take the ration. No, esoteric, they would eat in that house, though. And they didn't eat in the house. They would take the food back to their
care packages,
right. So, mikom mikom einon shutfi b'mashe ino echlin. I don't understand, but aren't they partners? Still, the mice and the food is all from the same pot, so is the partnership of the food sufficient? Amar Rabbi Bora, Asbury Rabbi Shmuel, Shein Avien Zochalad El Mashein Oichlim Bavad. No, they're not partners. What it means is that their father gives them a present of that which they eat, but they're not partners. There's no commonality at all. They just get presents of that which they eat. So if that's the case, so the Gemara asks a very basic question. Miata afilu in, not ain. Afilu in eruv ba'etz lon. Even if the eruv is located in the father's apartment, how could that possibly be sufficient? So says the Gemara, also so kibay sheminichim bo'etz eruv. Once it's in their father's apartment, and all the food is coming from there anyway, so they said it's as if they all participated. I mean, it's basically a fudging of the rules. Okay? Now, the Gemara is going to ask a question. It's late, and I'm going to get flustered again. So we'll stop here, and we'll come back to you on Monday. This Membez is Rosh Chodesh, this Elul's what?
It's Gimel
Elul. Oh, Gimel Elul. So we're only 2 weeks behind or so. It's not bad.
I think the thing with Shmuel is he's a two-step. think of the text, or there's something about the way they live, how they store their food.
It probably is a mistake in the text, because the same Gemara appears later on in Perakut or Lochazai, completely the same line as a proof for a completely different thing. So probably what happened, although I didn't see anybody say this, I mean, I didn't look at all the Maskilin, but just in Lieberman, but probably what happened is that there was some sort of mistake the Sofer made in copying text, and he got mixed up between one to the other. That's what I would say, but that the original text, whatever it is over here, is lost.